Hi, it's John Mez here, and I want to thank you for investing your time, talent, and giftings into our church. I hope this podcast inspires and equips you as we bring faith to life in Perth, Western Australia. Sort of talking a little bit about bringing faith to life, what that means, breaking it down, and we're here to preach the gospel and make disciples. And we capture that in two things called mission and ministry. If you can see on the screen, can you see it? It doesn't matter. I'm not in the middle of it at the moment. Hey, how cool is that? You can see it. Sorry, if you're new, the screen was really low. And so everyone would be like looking left and right as I'm standing in the way, but it's pretty cool. So ministry and mission, and that's what keeps up the roof of our church. That's what keeps up, you know, the building of our church. We as the church need to be about mission and about ministry. If a lot of the time we're just about ministry and mission just gets, you know, shifted to the side. But praise God, I believe we're building a church that has an equilibrium of mission and ministry. And I don't even feel like we've started yet as a church. I feel like it's like God's just sort of flinting the lighter, you know, and just getting it going. And then all of a sudden the fire, the furnace, I really believe it's just a start. It's just the start at the moment in our church. And so last week I taught a little bit about God's blueprint for our church, and how his blueprint, Noah building the ark, it was a blueprint, and he didn't see the boat, but he heard the boat. Yeah, a lot of the time we want God to show us where he's speaking to us, and in I guess the Christian journey and the Christian walk we take, often God speaks to us because hearing is seeing, right? In the world, seeing is believing, but you know, in our faith, in the Christian faith, hearing is believing. And so we talked a little bit about that, and we're sort of talking a bit about our heart for mission and ministry as a church. Yeah, we love this venue, and it's an amazing venue. What we don't want to do is build a venue that isn't as good as this and pay a lot more money doing that, if you know what I mean. You know, like, that we get to use this, what's probably $8 million facility for a couple of hundred, few hundred dollars a weekend for Friday nights and Sundays. So we don't want to replicate this because God has provided it for us. So for us to then go buy a church building to have a service in, it feels like we could be doing other things with our finance and putting it in. So we talked a little bit about what we want to do. We actually want to create and build a Life Chapel equipping hub, and a hub that's in community. And a part of that hub, how we get people coming. A lot of the time we ask the community, the world, to come to us, the community to come to our church, come to our service. But what we want to do is we want to take the church and put it in the community. That's what this hub's about, is sitting in the community. And with that, how you get people coming to this hub? Food, everybody. Coffee, right? Milkshakes. Those are the things. So we actually want to, in that phase one, is to start in this hub a cafe. So it's going to be amazing, this thing. Now, let me tell you, I'm talking vision. We haven't found the lot yet. We haven't signed anything or anything like that. I'm talking the vision. We're waiting until we have the right funds to do so, because we don't want to be as a church in a place where we get in trouble. But hey, I believe God's going to provide for the vision, right? His vision, his provision. Amen? And so as that comes, as that, we'll take that step. And so a part of that, the hub, we want this cafe, and we want to do it so in the day we're training up people in hospitality cert 3 in it, and so we can actually give them our heart for people. And imagine sending out other cafes and restaurants and hotels as people use this as a stepping stone to learn in how to do hospitality and how to welcome people. Wouldn't it be great that they know, they're like, oh yeah, you're from Life Chapel Equipping Hub, yep, come straight in. We know you guys because we know people that come out of here are great at loving people. And I think that'll be amazing. And having a place in there also so we can have a sectioned off for our mums and sort of those midweek Small groups that happen inside that we can see happen with mothers groups. I know we also said bingo last week as well. So for all those bingo lovers out there, you guys, it's all good. But I think that breakout space is you know, very important. The whole thing is designed, if we can create a space designed for connection. God wanted connection with us, humanity. So we're going to build a place of connection. My heart isn't to build a cafe that as you walk in, you're like, well, is this a cafe? You know, like, because it just looks like a box. But my heart is to do it well. We can represent God well as we do it well and set it up for connection. So part of that is utilizing it at night for Alpha Course, a non-Christian course. Also theology and leadership training and meetings. We can train barristers and all that. We talked about that. Now phase two. An early childhood learning center. How cool would that be? Somewhere where people can get respite for a couple of hours as they put their kids in there and come for connection in the cafe. You know, it'll be amazing to see that. Phase three, a multi-purpose room where, you know, I feel like we could house like an Alter One, which is a school for people that can't function in normal schools but can function in that space. And who knows, maybe church says, I don't know. But phase four, it gets even better. A rock climbing gym, everybody. You guys think I'm joking. You know, you guys are like, oh, no. A rock climbing gym. You know, where's the nearest rock climbing gym? Who knows? Rock face just closed down, everybody. I know. What am I meant to do on Thursday fortnights? I don't know. But, you know, something that brings not just people together, but also brings schools into us. You know, a facility that schools like Kerry, there's one of the phys ed teachers, he's like, if you do that, we'll be there. We'll come in and we'll utilize that space. Imagine how many other high schools could utilize that space for that particular function. And then on Friday nights, we dovetail it with youth group. What a great youth ministry. They've got their own rock climbing gym. You know, just think about it, everyone. And so a part of this, why have we set up this Life Chapel Equipping Center? We're setting up a different entity, so then it helps us access government funds, healthways, and things like that that actually can help us, so we're not pulling out all the funds here, but there's also people or the government that can come in and help us build this. How exciting is that, everyone? Everyone, is that exciting? Yeah, I love it. I love it because as we start to lean into the community, you watch the community lean into Jesus, into the church, as we lean out first. And that's our heart. We want to create a simple, sustainable, and also a scalable model that doesn't have to stop at one site, but we could see the gospel spread right through our city. And who knows, maybe even to the ends of the earth. Amen? We could even see God move in there. So, we're going to start today. Let's open up John 13, verse 1. And this will be our verse. Tess, you're doing an amazing job. Keep on going, though, because we're going to need you. We'll let you go after. Okay. Isn't she doing a great job? Yeah, doing a great job there. So much more holier when you're playing. It's like the spirits in this place, you know? Otherwise, it'll be silent. So John 13, verse number 1 in the NIV, it says, it was just before Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave his world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas and Simon, and the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. He wanted it to be bathed in front of everyone. It said, Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to the place, his place, sorry. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is who I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. The title of my message this afternoon is Pick Up Your Towel. Why don't we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word, and we pray, God, that you would speak to every single person in this place, that we would grow because of your word. It would strengthen us and would have revelation that would come into our hearts and actually would live out that revelation. And we pray, Father God, that you'd articulate everything that comes out of my mouth, that there'll be your words and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. Hey, thanks, Tess. Let's just thank Tess. How are your fingers? They all right? Yeah, they're good. Just doing the. Anyway. You know, when I was 19, I was living with Joel and Sharon Chalaya. And I lived there for 4 years. And while I was staying with them, they had a baby called Levi. And it was awesome. And as he was born, I wasn't there, by the way, okay? But he was there, and they brought him home, and it was always mysterious, you know, like little baby. All he did was cry and eat and poop, okay? And the cycle just went day on, day in, day out, and I understand that well now because I've just had a kid 2 years ago, and praise the Lord that those newborn days are over, but praise the Lord that they're going to come again for us in November. But anyway, it was probably 7 months in, I said to Joel, can I change his nappy? And Joel was like, absolutely, go for it. And so I picked up Levi, and I looked at him, and he sort of looked at me. And I went over to the changing table and put him down on the changing table. And I was like, this is my first nappy. I was like, I was getting ready, and I felt like he sort of gave me this wink, you know, like, you just, yeah, you're going to change my nappy. And so I took the tabs off, and as I pulled it down, oh my gosh, there was a poo, everybody. And it smelled atrocious. And not only that, but my body started to convulse. I started to scream, and all of a sudden, I'm almost dry reaching, and Joel runs into the place, and I ran out, everyone. I ran straight to the toilet. I thought that I was going to vomit in that place. I'm sort of one of those guys. I've got sort of a weak stomach, and I just ran straight out of that place. And oh gosh, it was in that moment that I ran. I couldn't do it. My body couldn't do it. Who remembers those days, those early teenage days where sort of things were easier, where there was a magic basket, everyone? Who remembers the magic washing basket where you pop your dirty clothes in and leave it a couple of days and they'll be clean and folded in your drawer? Who remembers those? Yeah? Hey, it was bad when I moved out and moved in with Joel and Sharon. The washing basket, the magic washing basket ceased to work. I was like, something's gone on with the basket. What's going on? But you know what? Praise the Lord. It's back again, everyone. It's back again. It works again. But have you ever thought, you know, in changing that nappy, have you ever thought something was beneath you? Something was beneath, like you don't do that anymore. You know, you've moved on in your life. You've reached it. You've gotten there. Maybe it's, you know, you're in the work and it might be the photocopying. You've got someone that photocopies for you. You don't go up to the photocopier and press your digits in and all that sort of stuff. You don't do that. You know, maybe it's It's the dishes at work in the office kitchen. Everyone remember that office kitchen? We go in there, go out, and you see the dishes. You're like, just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. Someone else, that job's beneath me. Maybe it's the weeding in your yard. You know, that's your partner's job. That's them. It's my spouse. They do that. I don't see these nails. I don't get those dirty. You know, I don't want to break a nail or anything like that. Hey, just saying, you know, there's some jobs are beneath. But maybe it's when you see the toilet and there's a couple of skid marks and you can see the toilet brush. I'm sorry. There's a little bit of, you see the toilet brush and you just keep on going. You just keep on going. You're like, someone else will do that. That job's beneath me. Well, right here, you know, this is sort of what's going on in this discipleship moment with Jesus in it. They're in there reclining at the table, but as they're eating, because it's talking about them eating, in this scene, the proper etiquette, right, would be that this is more important in the East rather than the West, but the etiquette would be that they taught the guests that journeying through the dusty streets should on arrival have their feet washed by a slave. This was a particularly humble task that was not included on the list for Jewish slaves. It was actually just non-Jewish slaves this would be beneath even a Jewish slave to wash feet of people. And so you could just imagine out there, they've got sandals. They don't have like great, you know, Reeboks right now or Nike or Adidas in the back in these days. It was just open sandals and the streets would be dusty and all that. So they would come in and the servant would wash their feet. The problem is, as the disciples and Jesus came into this scene, into the house, there was no servant. So what did they do? They just had dirty feet, everyone. Everyone, including Jesus. And so there they are, sitting down, and as they're sitting, usually what would happen, the food would be in the table, and they'll be laying down like this, with their feet on the ground. That's how they used to eat. And they would pull in at the table, arms length apart, right? And they'll grab it and they'll just eat like that. And they'll all be around this table, all out in a fan shape. It was probably a whole nother level of community and enjoying food. Have you ever tried eating laying down, everyone? The Jewish people had it sorted, let me tell you. And they had it there and they would be eating. And then what happens is they're having this fight, right? We don't read it in this passage, but none of the disciples are willing to do the duty. But what we know in this same passage from another person, from Luke, that saw this scene, he actually writes in his part of this scene that a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Perhaps they were trying to work out who was greatest so they knew who was going to wash the feet. Anyway, hey, this is the same scenario but coming from Luke. Perhaps they were trying to work out who in the pecking order is the one that has to wash the feet. You know, you just imagine if I know who's the greatest, then we know who isn't and we know who will be the person that's going to wash all of our feet. But it's amazing. Jesus said to them, "The king of the Gentiles lord it over them as those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you shall be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves?" My thought is, why did Jesus do it? Why was it that Jesus was the one that actually went down and washed? The Bible tells us why in the first verse. And I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation because it helps bring just a bit more highlighted and it helps bring out really why Jesus did it. And it says here, "All throughout this time with his disciples, Jesus had demonstrated a deep and tender love for them. And now he longed to show them the full measure of his love." Wow. that in that moment, Jesus actually wanted to show a full measure of his love. You see, this is about Jesus showing us the depth and breadth of his love to us. Fast forward in my story, 2017, we planted this church, and at the same time, we also had a baby. Terrible idea to do those two in the same year, everyone, okay? But there we were, and I was getting worried, because as Sarah was coming along in pregnancy, I'm like, well, changing nappies is going to be difficult for me because of what has happened in my past. Anyone knows what I mean? And so it was coming in, and Lexi came out, and there she was, beautiful. And then it came to that nappy point, and I'm like, I'm going to vomit. Oh, no, I don't know if I can change a nappy ever. You know, I don't, before anyone hates me, hey, I've changed many nappies, okay? But something was different this time with Lexi. And as I opened that nappy, and as, you know, let's not go into it, okay? She'd done her business. It was there. And I didn't dry reach. What was it? What changed? It was my love for her. I had a deeper love that helped me overcome some anxieties I've had, some, you know, my body revolting against my mind, you know, like, no, we can't do it. But it was a deeper love that helped me do that. And that's the difference. There was a depth in my love. You see, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to serve, not command. Jesus' whole life was dominated by service. As Christ said of himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So what does Jesus do? He goes up and he washes everyone's feet. Now, young Nate, can you come up on stage for me? Everyone, give Nate a round of applause. Are you wearing socks? All right, cool, cool. I just thought I'd made a bad choice for a second there. He's wearing ankle socks, everyone. Sit down, sit down. So Jesus is there, and you can take off your shoes. And there he is. Nate, do you mind? Do you mind being my little improv sort of participant? Okay. Let's all encourage him again. You know, just coming on stage. Here he is. And sorry, this was just a bit of soap because I forgot it earlier on. I was thinking about in worship, as I'm going to wash someone's feet, I don't have soap. That's going to be an issue. But it's okay. It's soap, okay? So we're all okay. And so Jesus comes in. Oh, look, there's his sockets, everyone. That's what a socket is. And just lift them up so everyone can see. They're amazing designs. It looks like you're not wearing socks in your shoes, but you are. It's amazing. Okay, so Jesus comes in, and he grabs it. And, oh, I did put water in this, everyone. Just hold that for me. I'm serving. Jesus serving. Okay, so Jesus comes in, and it says he picks up his towel, and then he I feel French now. Bonjour. And he puts his towel on and he comes down and you just hold that.
Yeah, we don't want to get them wet.
That's warm.
Is that nice?
Yeah.
Not too hot?
No, it's
not
good.
Not too cold? That's good. You got to do in between the toes, right? You got to make sure you wash in between the toes. In between the toes, everyone. In between the toes. It's very important, my doctor said. Good. You got really nice feet, Nate.
Thank you.
Okay, let's all thank Nate. You can grab your shoes. He's got clean feet. And you watch it. It's amazing. All-powerful Jesus, like angels, you know, they'll just come. You know, like all-powerful, all-knowing. He's God in human form, God personified in there in person. And what does he do? He goes down and he starts to wash their feet. And then he puts on his towel and he dries their feet. It's phenomenal. Picture something that not even a Hebrew slave would do. It's beneath their job, but Jesus, God. Do you get? I'm not talking about, look, it was cool washing Nate's feet. You know, I know that he hasn't worn sandals all day and walked kilometers through the dust and on grime, and then because of that, you would have toe jam in those days, and because of that, we're talking about a really, really disgusting, gross job. Jesus, God, comes out and shows the depth of his love right there. As a church, I believe we need to pick up the towel and wash the feet of our community. That's what this is all about. That's why I feel as a church, we can't keep in our little huddle and, oh, you know, we're doing our own thing. No, we need to be a church that picks up its towel. We haven't come to lord over. We've come to serve, amen? As a church, we've come to serve our community, not lord it over our community. And I love this because in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 9, it says here, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, washing his disciples' feet. It's amazing. It says here, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. God, he is Lord of all in this moment, but decided to be the Lord of the towel. Hey, we need to get that same attitude in our minds that we need to be the Lord of the towel. We need to get in this. We need to pick up our towels and go, hey, we're going to be amazing at serving our community. We're going to be amazing at going down and actually looking. And you can only pick up your towel when you know who you are. See, Jesus says in verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. We need to know who we are. You know, in Colossians 1, verse 18 in the Passion, it says, he is the head of his body, which is the church. And since he is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, he is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. Jesus is the head, and we're the body, his church. So we're the body of Jesus Christ. So when we're saying, Jesus, would you reach my friend? Would you reach that person? Jesus, would you rock up in my next door neighbor's life? Jesus, would you, that family that my son plays with and that, would you just rock up in there? When you rock up, Jesus has rocked up. Oh, that's hard. Because that puts the onus on us. That puts the responsibility on us. That means that we can't just come to church and sit down on a seat and then go to a connect group and maybe read our Bible every you know night and read a scripture. We actually need to do something. I've got to do something. I've got to be your hands and your feet, Jesus. That's what he's called us to be. And that's what he's called us to do. You know, Jesus was showing his disciples a symbolic picture. And if I can have the worship team come up, that'll be amazing. Actually, no, just Tess. Tess can come back up, actually. We're working out hard this afternoon, so, you know. But Jesus was showing his disciples a symbolic picture of Christ on the cross cleansing us from our sins. You see, picking up the towel in that space and place with the disciples, that was straight away a pre-picture of what he was going to do that very next day, and that he was actually going to wash all of our sins, that he was actually going to help us. He was going to change our lives. He was going to come down. He was going to stoop lower than anyone has ever stooped to give up his life for us, for you, and for me. And isn't that God's love? Isn't that a revelation of the depth of his love? That it was for God so loved that he gave. So I want to talk about giving, however we are going to give, because it's more about what's going on in your heart than what you're doing in reality. You can give money, but if it's with the wrong heart, hey, you're doing the wrong thing. Because it's more important about what's happening inside us than what we're doing outside. But I love it that for God loved that he gave. You know, we don't have giving issues in the church. I believe we've got loving issues. If we had a greater revelation of love, we would understand what we're giving into. We would understand that it's eternal and not temporal. We would understand what we are part of, that it's eternal and not temporal. You know, we were talking about Zacchaeus and the sycamore tree and Jesus, and Zacchaeus was in the crowd and he was far from God, but he heard that Jesus was coming and he couldn't see him. So he ran in around the crowd and he climbed up the tree so he could see Jesus. And because of that, Jesus came up to him, has an encounter that night with Jesus, because Jesus is like, I'm going to come to your house tonight. And then in that place, he literally gives. He gives half of everything to everyone that he's ripped off, and he's this amazing generosity came out of, and I just believe that he had a revelation of love in that moment. But you know, in that picture, I really believe that we, Life Chapel Church, we are symbolically that sycamore tree. Because as people come into contact with us, gathered here, but also as we're scattered as the church, as they come into contact with us, they see Jesus. And that's what it's all about. People seeing Jesus. But the tree of tomorrow starts with the seed of today. The potential of our church for tomorrow is right here in the seed of today. And we've sort of named or themed this last couple of weeks a series, Tomorrow Starts Today. And you know what? The tomorrow of Life Chapel, that this Life Chapel equipping hub, this thing that's going to see and reach the community, this starts in the seed of today as we sow in our money. We're not sowing it into the running of the church. That's tithes and offerings. We're sowing it into a building that's going to see the equipping and the releasing of mission and ministry. I'm so excited because I know what it can do. So, what question is, will you join Sarah, Lexi, and I? And will you sacrificially sow today for a supernatural tomorrow? You know, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 to 8, I don't have this on the screen, but I just felt God put it on my heart this afternoon in praying. It says here, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Praise God. We're sowing. We're sowing seed today. And we're still trying to work on our tax deductibility. So because of that, if you would like tax deductibility, we haven't confirmed it yet, so don't give thinking that we've got it, because we don't yet have it, but we're working at it. So you'll see these Building Our Future envelopes. Oh, there's one on screen. It's bigger. And with that, a part of our giving today, you can do a once-off giving amount. You can also, we've got two, is periodic giving, if you want it to be deducted from your credit card. And you can just tick the months that you would like, whether that's monthly or bi-monthly or whatever that is. And then your contact details. And then 4 is giving method. So if that's credit card. 5 is your tax receipt. So yes, if you would like that done. However, please, we haven't locked that in yet. So don't give expecting that. We're still working on that process. And so at the bottom, you know, if you're going to give via bank transfer, cash, check, online giving, or if you don't have the money, but you know, I want to be a part of this and I want to pledge to give in that, you can pop a tick in that and you can pledge to give right now. So if you would like, if you don't have an envelope and you would like an envelope, you can just pop up your hand and we've got some hosts that can give them to you. You also need to know that with our giving today, we're actually going to tithe on this, and 10% we're actually going to sow into Watoto. And as they came and that, we actually want to sow into them, because I believe as a church, as we look out and as we sow seeds out, look, God's going to look in and he's going to sow seeds in. So as you're doing that, still got a couple of hands around. Awesome. As you're getting that and as you're filling it out, why don't we turn our eyes to the screen for a Building a Future clip.
Come to know the love of Jesus and are healed and whole, and that we see people generationally saved, so more than one in a family.
It brings more people to Christ, and that eventually I'll be able to bring my family to Life Chapel so that they can enjoy the goodness of Christ.
Everyone can come and learn about God and also learn other things, so they would be coming to Life Chapel not just to come to church, but just to meet other people and experience God in different ways that isn't just the church.
Building into the community, building into the children of the community and to the youth of the community. I feel that Life Chapel, where it is now, the way it's going to go, will grow.
People never feel alone. That we would be their family, that we would be their community, that we can cry with people and we can celebrate the greatness in their life.
Thank you.
tomorrow starts today. What do you see? What do you see for Life Chapel? I love it that we need to hear. As we hear from God, we actually get to see what God wants for our lives. And, you know, what we are about as Life Chapel is bringing faith to life. We can't see this Life Chapel Equipping Hub yet in reality. But maybe as you've heard, maybe you start to see it. Maybe you start to get that picture. And if I can have the board and their spouses come up on stage, we're going to pray into our building, our future. And as we do so, after, we'll ask that if everyone can come out and maybe head left, but come out, and then you can pop your giving into one of the two Life Chapel envelopes. So, Auntie Jessie, that's you. Yep. Susan. Awesome. Don't we have a great board, everyone? Yeah. Well, Uncle Dennis and Kevin couldn't make it this afternoon, but it's exciting. It's exciting. So why don't we stand as a church? I think this is a really significant moment of what this does as we sow, what it breaks open in our lives, and also what it does in our community, and we'll see it over time. Praise God. We've currently got just over $55,000 in our Building Our Future account. Let's just praise God for that. 2 years in, 2.5 years in, God's so good. And people are saying, why are you starting now? Why are you starting giving into the future now? And I'm like, no one ever said, oh, I shouldn't have saved that money. You know, I've never heard that. I've heard I shouldn't have spent that money, but I've never heard people say I shouldn't have saved. You know, we're saving so we can sow into our future. Amen. So why don't you close your eyes and let's pray. Dave, would you start?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, Lord, Father God, thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful moment, Lord, that you bring us together, Lord. And I believe, Lord, that what you're doing in this community, Lord, Life Chapel is at your hands, Lord Jesus. We are at your disposal, Lord. Use us as your vessel, Lord Jesus. Take us to another level, Oh Lord Jesus. Take us to a place where, you know, that you have destiny for this church, Lord Jesus. I pray for the church, Lord. I pray for the people that are going to be giving today, Lord. They're going to be sowing their seed for the future of Life Chapel, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I could see that, Lord, that, you know, you know our future, Lord Jesus, and you know the future of this church, and we put our trust in you. And for doing that, Lord Jesus, by trusting you, Lord, we know that we are sowing into something that is bigger, that is going to be greater than us, and it's going to be greater, and it's going to be for our children and for our children's children, Lord Jesus. I pray for a brighter future, Lord Jesus, for this church and for the community that we serve. And Lord, I know, Lord, that you will use us in various ways, Lord, that you can use us, Lord Jesus. And I pray for your mighty hands, Lord Jesus, and your Holy Spirit to guide us through. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you for Life Chapel. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our Savior, our wonderful Savior, our miracle healer. Father God, we thank you for Jesus providing reconciliation, healing, and bringing answers to all sorts of prayers, Father God. We thank you for that. We just pray that today for building our future, people will give with their hearts, and that will be able that we will able to extend your tent and also enlarge your kingdom, Father God. With the funds, Lord, we will pray for future missions that can take your love to all places. And certainly 10% goes to White Toto, which will benefit Africa. Father God, we thank you for today, and we pray that everybody will put their hearts together and contribute towards this event. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, Father God, we thank you for the vision and the mission of this church, Father God, and I thank you that it's not about an individual, Father God, but it's about reaching our community for you, God. It's about reaching people for Jesus. And God, we thank you for what you're going to do with the seed that is sown today, Father God. We thank you for the cafe. God, we thank you, like I prayed in prayer meeting today, God, we thank you that you know the exact place where that will be, Father God, and we thank you for open doors for that, God. We thank you that it will be an ease to have this cafe. It will be an ease to then have this children's facility and whatever else comes with that, Father God. We thank you for open doors. We thank you for favor with our council, Father God, with the Council of Coburn, Father God. And God, we thank you for our community. We thank you that you are preparing their hearts for yourself, Father God. And we thank you for the people that we have influence over, Father God, and relationship with, God. We thank you that we will one day see these people, our family, our friends, our work colleagues, come to know you, God. And it doesn't have to happen here on a Sunday, but it can happen Monday to Saturday in our everyday, ordinary lives, Father God. We thank you, Jesus.
Yes, God. God, we're saying in this declaration that, God, we are sowing seed this afternoon. We are sowing seed today for tomorrow, Father. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that this seed would see lives change. Lord, we pray for breakthrough in our church. We pray for breakthrough that heaven would open over Perth. Lord, we pray for revival. God, we pray for you to move like never before, God. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we are sowing in action, as we are taking this big action in faith, God, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll see a move in our lives, we'll see a move in our finances, we'll see a move, Lord, in our church, God. Holy Spirit, have your way. Holy Spirit, it's your vision and it's your provision, and we pray for breakthrough because you're making a way in our church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, let's lift up a shout of praise and let's worship.